Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a 5-Minute Friday. Well, we just finished Mother's Day, and being a mother of four, I thought it would be great if I could give you guys tips for motherhood and mothering. So many of my listeners are working people. We are people who are trying to raise children in this crazy, chaotic life of ours, and every little mothering tip helps. So for my mothers out there, I'm going to tell you some of my top tips for raising good children and, you know, letting them turn into great humans, great people. So I think my mothering technique, of course, stems from my mom's influence. And I'm so happy to say I had a childhood which was absent of devices and, you know, really freeing in the sense that we were running around the neighborhood, going to people's houses without permission and exploring nature, fields, houses around us. And that was maybe growing up in the 80s and 90s like I did. But in this day and age, we're all so careful with our children. But I want to encourage you guys to let your children explore and to let them have some freedoms. The best summers of our lives were spent up at Lake Arrowhead, where the kids were let run free around the lake. We went to UCLA Bruinwood, so there was some supervision, but they had such autonomy. They were given card keys. They were allowed to go in and out of their room and, you know, make friends, stay out late a little bit. So a little bit of controlled freedom is a great idea for your kids. Another thing that's a big important one is not giving your kids devices too soon. And I did not give any of my kids iPhones until they were in 9th grade. And believe me, I heard it every single day about every kid in the school has a phone except for me. And my response was generally, well, then borrow theirs. Or, you know, I need a phone after school. What if I need to tell you what I need to be doing, where I am, my activities, I'm running late? I said, well, go to the office, ask them to use the office phone. And so we held out for each of our 4 kids till 9th grade to give them a device. And believe me, as soon as the kid gets a phone, all you ever see is the top of their head. They don't look up again. So important. I think the reason my kids are great readers and writers is because they had so much time to imagine and time to not be drawn into a device. I feel even myself, I'm an amazing reader. I love reading. And literally, it's been like a year since I've read a book because immediately we go to our devices. That is another important point. So point number 3 is books and reading. And your kids need to be passionate about going to the public library. That was our sanctuary. And like walking into the library, the smell of books, the touch and feel of books, getting to know books at a young age in the picture section of the very young kid books, and then going into the adolescent teen books and remembering all the classics from your own childhood. Introducing my kids to my favorite reading classics was just extraordinary for them and so fun for me to reread those books. And things like Old Yeller and what else? Savage Sam, Willy Wonka, Little House on the Prairie, that whole series, all the Nancy Drew books. Teaching your kids to read is so important. And we would give them computer time because, of course, you want your kids to learn technology. But in order to get 30 minutes of screen time, they had to do an hour of book reading. And so we'd always come into the house and have quiet reading time before any television time or fun time. Another point, number 4, is to give them extra work. So it was my very important goal to get the kids to really learn at their own individual levels, understanding each child, how they learned. Are they a visual learner, an auditory learner? You know, what were their motivators? What things could we use to get them to study a little more, a little harder? And giving them extra work, those extra workbooks you can pick up in bookstores. And I know Costco had a really great bunch of them. And assigning them extra pages because really regular schoolwork was getting done so quick and seemed like such busy work. And so doing some in-depth projects was great. Number 5, on that tone, we had, whenever people were goofing off, being bad, or needed grounding, instead of just something silly like punishment, go to your room and sit there and do nothing, we would have productive punishment. So when they're talking back or they're fighting with their siblings or they're just screwing it up and they need a punishment. Punishment would be like take a dictionary and copy a page out of the dictionary. You'd have to do dictionary pages. Yes, we did vocabulary building punishment. So copying dictionary pages was a great way to make them sit still, get a little punishment and self-thinking and, you know, reflecting, and also to learn some vocabulary. That was great. Writing essays was another one. My goodness, my kids knew if they fought with each other, if they crossed a line or did something that was not in the family rule book, they'd have to write an essay. And that's point number six. I love reading all these old essays that my kids wrote. Just so fun to dig them up. And I mean, essays were such a common punishment for one of my daughters that her sister would always say, "You are an essay girl. You're going to be an essay girl." So funny. And she is a great writer right now. So I think writing an essay about, think about what you did wrong, why you shouldn't have done it, how you're going to do better next time. Teach that four paragraph structure. So important. Teach them how to do outlines. Teach them tips and tricks for test taking. That is so critical too, because teachers don't teach that. So you can teach that starting at a very young age. Number seven on the list is to keep a star chart. Kept that on the kitchen counter. Each child had a column and a row. A little gold star, so inexpensive, a piece of cardboard, and, you know, tasks that they needed to do. So chores would be rewarded with gold stars. Everybody got 5 gold stars in a row or 7 gold stars in a row for doing all their chores all week. And then they got to earn some, you know, reward dollars, which were redeemable for treats and goodies, like little knickknacks from the Target dollar aisle. That was a really wonderful thing to do, and a visual reminder, competitive visual reminder between the four kids of who's getting their stars and who's not getting their stars. One of my good friends did something similar for allowances. Once the kids got to middle school, he would tape 10 $1 bills on their bedroom door. The $1 bills would stay there, 10 of them, all week until it was time for allowance day Friday. But guess what? You screwed up and you didn't do your laundry. You screwed up and didn't make your bed. A dollar comes off the door. Screwed up and you're fighting with your sister. Another dollar comes off the door. And so that visual reminder for kids to excel and stick with their boundaries and their guidelines, so important. And next up is teaching them what you expect of them. Because I remember growing up and people asking me, all the adults around me would ask me, what do I want to be when I grow up? So what are you going to be when you grow up? And like people would put you on the spot. You'd be 8 years old, 10 years old, and you'd have to say, what did you think you want to be? And it's interesting because if I really think back to it, I think in many ways you define yourself by who you think you want to be when you are in sixth grade, fifth grade, 12 years old. These are the days when your brain is free to think and decide what it wants to be, and that sometimes becomes manifested and becomes reality. So think about asking your kids what do they want to be when they grow up, not with any pressure, but just with ideas, and also reminding them about your expectations. We used to tell them, just like JFK said in his famous quote, that just as much is given, much is expected. So for them to understand that they're growing up, you know, in a beautiful society, in a beautiful house, with better than 99.9% of the world, living with fresh running water, food, and no worries, and education, all these things, as much as given, much as expected. And to understand that they're always going to be expected to make this world a better place than what they started with. Because too often, I think, we are teaching to materialism and what they can buy, what they can achieve, what they can get their hands on, what they see other people having on Instagram, on TV. That materialism is not important and should be so downplayed. I love a school that puts a kid in uniforms because it eliminates that layer of trying to be fancy and trying to be like the other kids. Love it when we can really learn about our friends and people from different cultures and look at people in society and understand that we have to play a role to better the society around us. So our kids did volunteer work. We took them to travel to see third world countries. We wanted them to see, you know, suffering in different degrees of human condition because our kids are very privileged. And it's so important for kids to be in some way lacking. They can't have everything given to them, because where then is ambition, passion, and desire going to come from? So although our kids grew up with everything, we also tried to give them restraint. When they want something, they have to earn it. I can easily buy you a purse or this or that, but it's not going to give you happiness, because you get one purchase, then you're on to the next purchase and the next one and the next one. And I see that in adults. I see that at our aesthetic meetings. I see that in myself, and I don't want to see that in myself. And so I'm evolving myself to be a person who doesn't want materialistic achievements. I want experiences. I want big goals. I want to do big things to make the planet better, the world better. Make your kids think about what they want to do to leave their mark, because you know what? They're going to inspire you. Your kids are brilliant. And then meeting each child every quarter on their own, away from their siblings, was very important. So a quarterly day, you have to schedule this because it's not easy to do. But you've got to take, you know, every 3 months, a day, half day with each kid. Take them to lunch, take them to a movie, take them to get their nails done all by themselves. It's your special time with that one kid to figure out who they are. And this is not your time to lecture. It's not your time to advise. It's not your time to coach. It's your time to just learn and meet the person. It's funny looking back at the kids now that they're grown, but they were the people that they were from the moment they were born, from the time they were 6 months old, 2 years old, 5 years old. These people had personality and characteristics and things that you don't even notice when you try to just regulate and mold them. And you know, you really just need to learn, who is this person? And remember, you only have 18 summers with your kids. That's a really great podcast I did with an author who wrote that book. The title is You Only Have 18 Summers with Your Kids. You guys need to read that, but take into consideration that every summer should be special. That after 18 years, they go off and do their own things with their own friends. They have internships, they have jobs. So this is really protected time, and it goes so, so fast, especially once they hit high school. And you have to enjoy each year. They are never going to be again 14 years old, 13 years old. That 13-year-old person is gone. You met them, you had them for a little while, and they're never going to be 13 again. They're never going to be 14 again. They're going to keep evolving. They're going to be next year's version of themselves, now a 15-year-old with new problems, new nuances to their personality. So you have to learn each age and appreciate each age and appreciate each year. And we have to do that with ourselves too, because I'm never going to be again 40-year-old me. That person's gone. Now it's 41-year-old. Now it's 42, and so on and so on. So that's so critical. And then give your kids so much self-love. Teach them self-love and acceptance of who they are. It's very hard to do, because most of the time when they're adolescents and teens, they just want to blend and they want to be like everyone else. But if you can be that parent that instills in them self-worth, self-value, and understanding of how special they are, my God, that child is going to do so well in life. And I want you guys to be a little strict with your kids. Remember, raising kids is like raising puppies. You got to be strict. The best dog trainers are very, very, very strict. Everyone has to know who's boss and has to know what the boss's rules are and has to know that there's consequences and punishments and things like that when they fall out of line. And I think you have to be a military sergeant in some ways. And then there has to be a good cop and a bad cop. Not each interaction can be so strong and so bossy. So it's always nice if one parental unit is the nicer, softer one and the other is a little more strict. And that plays back and forth through life. But being strict is so important. So, you know, you're not there to be your kid's friend. You're there to be their parent. Such a special, special relationship. So those are some of my tips and tricks to get the kids studying hard. And I definitely have loved every phase of being a mom, and I'm loving this phase now when the kids are finishing college and going on to start their little early careers. And I just wanted to give you guys that feedback. So learn all my tips and tricks on mothering. I'm going to give you more. That's just an intro. But in celebration of moms out there, just wanted to give all of you moms a shout out. You work so hard. You're molding the future. You're raising the children who are going to take care of this planet, this world, and this society when we are gone. So thank you for all your hard work. God bless you. And kids out there, give your moms a hug. Well, that's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me every Tuesday and every Friday doing a podcast. Tuesdays are the longer ones. Fridays are the 5-minute ones. And you can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same. It's beautybydrk.com. There you can find some of the amazing products which keep me sane as a busy, busy mother. Gotta have my collagen peptide powders. Love them. And every day, every single day, especially when I travel, vitamin C, deep blue hydration, my Retin-A, and I love our mineral sunscreen. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.